listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. With the start of 2017, there are hundreds of new California laws kicking in. We'll highlight some of them this week on Insight. You can read about even more on our Cap Radio website. My colleague Bob Moffitt is joining us by phone to explain two new laws that could have a dramatic effect on young people. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here in this new year. 898 new laws the governor signed. We're just going to talk about two, but either one of them could be quite life-changing for a young person. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I'm just happy that I did not have to cover the other 896.
So let's start with the new law that could affect young people applying for a job.
Well, it affects people, young people who have been convicted of perhaps a misdemeanor or a nonviolent offense. They were previously, you know, when you go in to apply for a job, no matter how old you are, there's often a part of that application form that says, have you ever been arrested, or usually says, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Well, a juvenile's records are supposed to be sealed if a judge deems that they are to be sealable. But what some juveniles were doing is that they were saying, yes, I've been arrested, or yes, I've been convicted of a crime. And so the lawmakers felt that that was prejudicial against the juveniles because, you know, the employer sees, oh, somebody's been arrested. Well, they must be a bad person, and so therefore I won't hire them. So they did away with the requirement or with the ability of an employer to ask, with the exception of medical centers and hospitals.
The author of this bill, Assemblyman Mark Stone, seems to think that it even has broader impact. Let's listen to a bit of what he said about it.
So if somebody who is turning their life around is looking to rehabilitate, can't get a job, can't get housing, can't go to school, then we potentially lose a situation where we have a productive member of our community.
He was looking beyond just employment at removing roadblocks to rehabilitation, Bob.
Right. Well, if you don't have a job, it's awfully difficult to pay for an apartment and or groceries. And if you are a juvenile in some of the poorer areas and you've made a mistake and you've owned up to that mistake and it's been adjudicated and the judge has deemed that it's not worth making it a public issue, and it's now sealed, then the argument is that that juvenile should not be further, he's done the time, and so he shouldn't have to continue to pay for that indiscretion by not being able to get a job when he's trying to do the right thing by getting a job and becoming a productive member of society.
So the official law as of January 1st is that most California employers cannot ask a minor for his or her juvenile criminal history when they're in the job hiring process. How wide is the scope of jobs that this applies to, Bob?
Well, it applies to just about everything except for medical centers or senior care facilities. Those industries fought hard to keep that exemption, and there's another exemption. Stone's previous law, I think 2 years ago, does basically the same thing for adults, in that it prevents employers from asking adults whether they've been convicted of crimes, but there is an exception there as the hospital lobby and the medical facilities lobby argued that by not allowing them to judge the background of a person, then that really opens them up to possibly hiring somebody who could participate in, a criminal enterprise of some sort against one of their patients because they're in a position where they're not able to defend themselves.
You're listening to Capital Public Radio's Bob Moffitt. We're talking about California's new laws, two that regard young people. The next one, Bob, is about sports participation. And I know this is an important one to you and your family, but would you explain this new concussion protocol?
Well, the previous law said that anybody who, a child in high school, if there is a belief that they may have suffered a concussion, that they would have to undergo tests by a licensed medical person on the sidelines is typically for football or soccer. Those are the two sports that have the most effect or that are impacted most. And those kids have to be reviewed to see if they've suffered a concussion, and to judge their responses compared to testing that they underwent before the season began. Well, there's a whole ton of kids out there that are playing youth sports who are not in high school and who are undergoing the same impacts as their older counterparts. So the new law says that those kids are also protected and also must undergo this protocol.
So would you talk about the protocol then for what we call headers in soccer? And I think your daughter is playing soccer, right?
Yeah, well, soccer is definitely a dangerous sport as well for headers, and there's a reason.
You're walking into the studio as we're talking. Okay, you can turn off your cell phone. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Moffitt in the studio.
Well, you were asking about soccer and the impact of the ball on the frontal lobe of the child's head has been significant enough where youth sports or youth soccer leagues have outlawed heading by those kids. But it still happens. And also, what happens, especially in soccer, is that two kids will go up for a ball or will try to compete against one another, and they will their heads will collide. They're obviously not wearing any protective gear, and so that's a concussion can come from that as well.
What's changed in this new law, then, is that a young boy or girl can only play again after a licensed healthcare provider writes a release, correct?
Right.
All right, let's listen to a reaction from Jeff Cooley. He's president of the Sacramento Junior Hornets Football and Cheer Program. He says his league had already been implementing these rules.
We're trying to protect our sport and protect the kids in it. With the concussion information that's been put out there, we've seen a decline in the number of kids registering for youth football, and we have to do everything we can to make sure parents know that it is a safe sport to play.
Obviously, the protocol is in place to make something positive happen, but what's the flip side? If a release hasn't been signed and a child is playing again, where's the liability and what's the consequence?
Well, it's a great question, and I asked Kevin McCarty, who authored the bill, you know, what was going to happen. He said, well, obviously, we're not going to have concussion police patrolling the sidelines.
Right.
But word gets out really quickly, and if parents understand that their school is not protecting their kids, those parents that value their child's health and safety over the outcome of the football game will raise a stink. And I think that's sort of an internal monitoring device. But no, there's not going to be anybody on the sideline as far as penalty. I mean, it's just this is what the law is, and schools need to follow it. And so far, I mean, high schools across the board have done so. And if any, a kid has a concussion and it's obvious, then they're pulling him out, and he can't go back in.
We could talk about football and soccer, but it can apply to a lot of sports.
Yeah, well, you have baseball as well. A kid gets hit in the head either
basketball
in any
too.
Position. Basketball, sometimes they go up, a kid gets undercut and he or she lands on the floor, on their head. And so, yeah, the concussion issue is, it doesn't happen as often in those sports, certainly, but football and soccer are the number one and two. And also what he mentioned, Coley mentioned as far as youth participation, I looked those numbers up, and actually youth football is down. I think it's down 8% in the last several years.
Yeah, I'd heard that in the last year. Well, it might have been a sporting event to get you into the studio today, and you came in a bit breathless, but thank you. We've been able to start off the new year with you in person. And
certainly. I'd rather be here than driving in traffic.
I appreciate that, Bob.
Happy New Year.
That is Bob Moffitt. Happy New Year to you, too. And check our website for, as I said, many stories about many of California's new laws. That's capradio.org. Still ahead, we're going to talk about how birds in California are weathering the drought years. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.